Fear, and we talked about it last week, fear is torment. The word of God said fear is torment. And if you don't know how to handle it, it's going to torment you. And some of them have died behind being living a fearful life, because fear affects the body. Fear affects the mental, psyche, the whole nine. And so people can't go to sleep. They can't rest. Some of them can't eat. Some of them eat too much. A whole lot of things are cause and effect behind fear. And so I know we talk on this a lot, and we want people to understand what is going on. But knowledge is power. We have a lot of people walking around don't want to know these things, and they want to walk around blind like everything is okay, and it's not okay.
That's right. You know, I tell you what, and anyone who walks around fearful all the time, it's a very dangerous situation. And we're talking about dangerous to people they involved with, whether it's family members or whatever it is, or themselves. There was a story that came out just this week that this young lady, her dad shot her. Her dad shot her, and he was part of that QAnon movement. That QAnon whack job movement. And it is really strange, Dr. Demery and Dr. Sims, how people get caught up in these cult-like or cult of personalities and things of that nature. It's really weird how they can get indoctrinated into this, just crazy stuff. And so what happened, she described her dad, before he started believing in these QAnon conspiracies, as fun-loving, just a great dad, great provider, somebody that they could communicate with and whatever it is. He ended up shooting her, her mother, and the dog. Okay. And he ended up getting killed by the police because he came out. After he had shot up all the daughter, the mom, and the dog, he came outside with his brandishing his weapon and started shooting at the police. So they killed him, right? What I'm saying from a psychological standpoint, Dr. Sims, I don't understand. I guess that he had some other buried demons, whatever, that allowed him to become so fearful, okay, and start believing all these theories, right? And one of their theories is that Democrats drink the blood of children so they can live longer. Okay. They had this theory one time that, Hillary Clinton was involved with some pizza restaurant, and there were, kids or somebody that was, holding, or that was being held hostage in the basement of the pizza restaurant. And, something about, it's just the weirdest, weirdest stuff. Tell you something else that you and Dr. Demery, I don't know whether you paid attention to this or not, because it just came on for about a blip or so. And I saw it, I didn't see it on CNN or MSNBC or anything like that, but it was on Facebook on TYT, I believe. And it was how Trump was wearing a QAnon pin recently spotted, and he's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, you would think, they had a search warrant, went to Mar-a-Lago, and got documents that did not belong to him. I don't understand. And now you have this crazy judge that gave him, that granted him what he wanted, and that was for the Department of Justice to put a halt on any investigations. And she even told them that they can't even look at the classified documents, and they're arguing, hey, we need to do this to continue our investigation. She also granted their request to have a special master. Now, the DOJ has filed an appeal, and I hope that comes through real quick, fast, and in a hurry. Okay? Now, why is there a question? Why is there an argument? Why is there a discussion about this? Well, were they classified? Were they not classified? Did he declassify them? Did he not declassify them? Number one, he was never supposed to have the documents in the first place. Can we stop right there? Okay. He took the documents out of the White House. He was never supposed to take them out of there. So why is there a question beyond that? Whether they're classified or not classified. There are folders with empty that's clearly marked classified. Got another question for you. Where are those folders? I mean, were they just window dressing? I mean, is there just folders that have classified on it with nothing in it? I mean, somebody going to have to tell me something. This is so idiotic. I think a fifth grader could figure this stuff out, and I apologize to the fifth graders, okay? They can figure this out. This folder right here says classified, but there's nothing in it. Where are the documents? He was never supposed to...
But Williams, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but he's also made a declaration. He says if he's indicted, there's going to be trouble, just like he did during the election.
Mm-hmm.
He gives codes out to his people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a code that if anything come of this, because you have to understand when he went before the House of Representatives, he plead the fifth on everything, if you understand that.
Grand jury, and he pleaded in New York over 450 times. Over 400.
He didn't answer one question. Over to me, that's admission of guilt.
It is.
Now, had one of us had that information in our homes, we'd be up under the jail trying to dig our way out.
Okay? Right now.
But he's walking around free. He's flexing. But you have to understand the time that we're living in. People would rather love darkness rather than light. He is, and you have to understand his history. His father, wasn't he a grand wizard in the KKK?
I know they said that he was a member of the KKK.
Yes,
I know that.
I thought he was an upper echelon part.
Well,
his daddy was a businessman. He was always up in the upper echelon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the teachings, and I read this, the teachings that Donald Trump hung with his daddy, okay, was taught by his father strategically on how to do business and how to do what have you. But my thing is this, is that people, when I say the law is for the lawless, I mean that in a negative way. Because you have people who are getting away with murder.
Absolutely.
But you have people who steal a cigarette, get 10 to 20 years for a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that might sound like exaggeration, but yet it isn't.
You're not exaggerating at all.
Yeah. And that's a going thing now. And they target certain cultures, again, along with superiority, and people with money, because money talks. And many of us don't have those kind of dollars, okay?
That's right.
And even if we did, they would still look at the color of our skin. They would only let you get away with certain things for so long and pay your way out. Now, you said something earlier. You were saying something about they're saying the Democrats drink blood and all this kind of stuff. I was reflecting back. Who was that Jonah wanted to, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And I researched why, Jonah had a problem with Nineveh. It was because of the deeds Nineveh was doing. They were doing things in caves. When I tell you there's nothing new under the sun, there was nothing new. They were doing cannibalism. They were drinking blood. Mm. They were having orgies. They were doing everything damnable. Okay? So is this going on today? Yeah, it is.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Because I've heard stories. In fact, I counseled a young lady who joined Wicca, and we all know what that is, right?
Mm.
And the reason why she did that, because she had certain gifts as a young girl that her mother didn't understand, and she had a spirit of discernment, and they called it, she was possessed, but that wasn't the case.
Yes.
They took her to a Catholic priest. The Catholic Church had a dungeon, okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The church had a dungeon underneath the church, and they took this child down to the dungeon. They ripped her of her clothes. They sexually assaulted her. Then they called themselves doing an exorcism. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But then too, down even in this cave, this cave type thing, you can see they did blood sacrifices and all kinds of things.
Right.
That's witchcraft. Okay. That was going on with Nineveh. So this, whatever you're saying right here, I wouldn't put it past them. I really wouldn't. Yeah. I really would.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I'm not so sure if it's the Democrats is doing it or these are the Republicans that's doing their projections like they normally do.
No, I think it's just anybody who's involved in this stuff.
Democrat, Republican,
I think it's anybody that is drawn to darkness. Because the Bible said
people
would rather believe darkness than the light and really wanted to, because they feel like it gives them a sense of power. And Satan does give them power.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to play this little clip right here real quick. Okay, we just have some guests that come into the studio right now. But I'm going to play this clip right quick and we'll be right back. This is Studio W, The Buzz, and this is the Boomerang Radio Show.
The ADL identified 373 people named on the Oath Keepers membership list who are currently serving in law enforcement agencies across the U.S., including at least 10 police chiefs and 11 elected sheriffs. The group also identified 117 currently serving in the military, on top of 11 people serving in the reserves and another 31 who are actual military contractors or hold civilian positions. Let's go to the politicians and the first responders. They were on the list as well. It said the list included 86 active firefighters, including several fire chiefs, 19 active paramedics, 31 active emergency technicians appearing on the membership list. The ADL identified 81 people who are holding or running for public office across the country as of August 8th. These individuals ran the gamut from local office, mayors, town, council members, school board members, to state representatives and senators, according to the report. The Oath Keepers, by way of their own propaganda, they are anti-government. They are anti-government based on the wording of their own website. So why do you think they are actively recruiting and obtaining members of the government to be part of their anti-government white supremacist movement? Because at the core of their movement, it is actually not anti-government, it is different government. They want to implement their own government. They're not anti-governing, they're not anti-government, they are anti-democracy, they are anti-constitution, they are anti-rule of law, and they are anti-you and anti-me.
Hey, I'm going to stop it right there. Hey, Dr. Sims, I'm going to ask you and Dr. Dimmer take over for a minute. I have to greet some guests that just came in. So anyway, I'm going to step aside and Dr. Sims and you and Dr. Dimmer just carry on, okay? Be right back.
All right. Dr. Dimmer, how are you doing today, sir?
It's fine.
Good.
All right.
You know, I just brought out a little
Very horrifying document, you know, and the list of the Oath Keepers. I mean, I'm surprised anybody's surprised. This 21st century version of the KKK, the White Citizens Council, oftentimes there were politicians, members of the fire department, members of police departments who were members of the KKK. So we should not be surprised. This is just history repeating itself.
Yeah.
We must be concerned and we must absolutely do something about this, but this is nothing new in the United States of America. It's the same old stuff, just the 21st century birth.
That's right. And once again, transparency, light, this provides a great disinfectant for corruption. And that's exactly what you're saying here.
And, you know, we just have to be ready for it when it comes and call it for what it is. A lot of people have I don't want to hurt so-and-so's feeling, or I don't want to make someone feel bad. Well, you got to call it for what it is, you know?
And, you know, it's crept in some of our churches, Dr. Demery. They use the church as a front, okay? And a lot of them are entertaining these things in secrecy. And I think it's a travesty. And I believe this is one of the things was with the Lord. I think the Temple of Solomon, if I could reach there, where they were doing things on the outer skirt of the temple. And the Lord said, what does darkness have to do with light? So he removed himself from the temple. I believe he put Ichabod over the temple because it's a desolate place and God no longer dwells there. And so we have a lot of this going on. I know you're a scholar in the Word of God and you've been to seminary. And so what do you think about this? Do you think that this is an issue in our churches today and that's why the power of the sovereign God is no longer there or the evidence of him? And do you think it can be returned? God will return?
I think there's a couple of things you got to look at. I mean, first of all, one of the ways of identifying that which is not of God is to first identify God. And that's through scriptures, through the anointing, through discernment, several different ways you can, you know, and I think we have to consult the elders of the church, too. I remember I was dating this girl once, and oh, I thought she was a goddess. You know, she was this and that. And one of the mothers of the church said, bring it here. Let me look at her. Just bring her to church Sunday and let me look at her. Let me talk to her for a bit, and I'll tell you what she's all about. Well, I brought her there, and she talked with her. And this old mother, she's dead now, but she said, no. No, baby, that's not the one. You need to let her go.
Wow. Right?
So I think that's, you know, that wisdom and knowledge, we have to recognize that as well and realize that you don't have to have a whole lot of education. You don't have to have a whole lot of book learning. But sometimes you have that old thing that they used to call in the South, mother wit.
Damn.
And, you know, those old mothers in the church and old deacons in the church got that. And we have to rely on that as well. And, you know, consult some of the elders who've been around for a long time.
Right.
You know, they fight the devil a lot longer than we have. And so they can discern and determine whether or not some of this stuff is real or not.
Right.
And some of them will say, look, baby, you just got to pray on this now. Let's just pray our way through this. And so I think with the scripture, with recognizing, you know, that which is anointing, that which is of God is of God, and that which is not of God is not of God. That's why Jesus said, look on both sides of the coin, you know. Well, Caesar's on a render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and render unto God that which is God. And I think if you rely on that, then, you know, no matter what happens, you don't have to have 15,000 member church, you know, to prove that you're successful.
Right.
You know, I'd rather be pastoring a church that's got 20 members that's aligning itself with the word of God rather than being involved in a so-called church, but it's really a cult in the underlying sides of it. So, you know, I think there's all those, there's no one single way, but I think if we use all of the tools that we have that God has given us to ascertain and determine, you know, that which is of Satan and that which is evil, I think clearly recognizable.
And, you know, the scripture says, try the spirit by the spirit, whether it be of God. And so you were talking about the mother wit. They had that wisdom of spirit of discernment. That's what that is. And so you notice if a lot of people will know a person that has that kind of gift, that kind of power, because they're walk with God. And that's what you're saying, you know. In fact, they will be fearful because something within them know they're going to get ready to get, the beam is getting ready to shine on them. They're getting ready to be exposed. And you were saying something about churches, maybe they have 10 of 20 people in there. Sometimes church can become a cult, but then sometimes churches are so keen into God with their relationship, the power of God reigned there so heavy, a lot of stuff can't come in there and sit comfortably. A lot of demons can't come in there and sit. People can't come in there and do what they want to do. But then for the bulk of, I should say, for the most part, a lot of our, I'm not going to say the church, because the church is not, doesn't have a defect, because God is the church. It's the people that go into these gathering places. It's not it, because the church is within us. If we're walking with the Lord, if you carry in God. But the thing is, so much goes on within the houses of prayer, which many call temples or synagogues or whatever, that is distasteful to the Lord. And that's why I believe that there is an over abundance of demonic activity in a lot of these churches. And yes, they can become occultish. One of the things, Dr. Demery, I tell people, you got to be careful. If you have a lot of family members, it can be so engrafted with just family members, it can be, it can appear to be occultish. And a lot of times it has turned into that. What do you think about that? When you have family members running everything, okay, and everybody else can't do a thing, and it becomes, it's so grafted in with this family that that's all you're looking at.
Well, you know, I have said this before, and I wish I could take credit for the quote, but I cannot. C.L. Franklin, who was Franklin's father, was probably one of the greatest orators we've had in this country. He had a lot of other problems he was dealing with too. Now, let's be honest.
You already know. Okay.
Yeah. A bunch of stuff.
Yeah. He was something, something. Yeah, he was.
He was played by, but he said, if you see the devil in church, he rode somebody there.
Uh-huh.
The only way that the devil can get in the church, he's got to ride somebody there.
Come
and
on.
If you've got cliques, and if you've got, favoritism in the church, you have to be very careful as a pastor. Mm-hmm. You may hurt a whole lot of people's feelings. You may split the church. You may have problems. But as long as you are in the spirit of truth, mm-hmm. in the spirit of righteousness, in the mm-hmm. spirit of what Christ has taught us, mm-hmm. I think then you are, in line. And I'd rather be in line with God's word and be in line with what God has called me to do rather than anything else. Because I tell my people every day, every Sunday, I tell them, I said, look here, y'all. You know, I am not afraid to tell you the truth as God has given it to me. Why? Because I got your blood on my hand.
Come on.
I ain't going to hell for nobody. And so I'm going to tell you the truth and let you be mad at me.
Right.
Bust hell wide open and then me standing before God saying, oh, yeah, Lord, I did this, I did that. But the Lord's going to say, did you preach my word?
Wow.
Did you love the people? Did you teach them Christ-likeness?
Wow.
Teach them as Christ taught you. And if a pastor can't do that, they might as well just go join the Kiwanis Club or the YMCA or something like that. Because they're not doing that. Because part of the role of a pastor is to challenge you, to challenge the status quo.
Yes.
And a lot of pastors won't do that because they're afraid of their position. They're afraid of their salary. They're afraid of this. They're afraid they may upset somebody. Shoot. I preached at one of our churches. They won't ask me to come back. I know they won't ask me to come back. But I think that's part of the thing that ministers have to not be afraid. Christ was not afraid of challenging the Pharisees. That was the religious elite at the time.
Right.
And that's what's happening now. Pastors cannot be afraid to challenge the elitists of this religiosity that we bear allegiance to sometimes.
Right.
And you have to step out of that stuff and just say, hey, thus saith the Lord. And this is what the love of God is all about. Not this love you guys are teaching.
Come on now. I think a lot of compromising has been done down through the years. And I know, Dr. Dimmer, you're right on it. And we got to get to the point, especially as leaders and pastors, we got to get to the point where, okay, and I said this last week, I'm going to get on your nerves, okay? Get on your nerves. At least you'll have something, a thought process you can't walk away from. Because there's a scripture that says, to whom much is given, much is required. However, some people want to stay stuck on stupid on purpose, okay? They think that if they don't know a sector of the Bible, then they're not going to be judged according to it. But God tells us that he's not going to leave us without any excuses. If you hear the true word of God, and if God's word come forth and you have to change in those areas and you don't, and then you start playing the blame game on the pastor or the teacher or whoever, that's on you. But you're right, Dr. Demery. The pastor has to preach the word of God and cannot compromise. But that's what I'm finding a lot of pastors doing. Not everybody, but there's a whole heck of a lot of more. And then, too, you said something about they're worried about their salary. You have a lot of pastors worried about notoriety and being up in the limelight with the upper echelon. God never told us to do that. Never told us. Because when you preach the truth, sometimes it's going to be a lonely place and you're not going to have many friends, right? You're going to have some people that's going to walk away from you. You're not going to be in the clique because there's cliquish activity going on in the pastoric positions. There's a lot of character assassins going on, especially if you come against what they're doing. And it is sad. And you said something too about joining a group. It's an occultist group. And we have a lot of pastors who have done that already. Okay. You can't serve two masters. I was reading the scripture. You have to serve one or the other. You can't straddle both sides of the fence. Have you come across that in your years of pastoring, Dr. Dimery, that you found people on leadership that have join and I'll just be an elite cultist group. I mean, literally without me calling the name, because I do know them. Okay. They're doing things in secrecy and God says, I do nothing in secrecy. And then they put on the Lord's name in front of it, but it's a secret, secrets, all of these secrets. And I won't go into the group name because, you know, I don't know how far I can go, but I could go there. But the thing is that, have you known people who's working both side the fence in leadership who is in a cultist activity and also want to be in the preaching status and stand in the front of God's people?
Well, absolutely, because there's a lot of people who are pastors because they like being in the limelight. Uh-huh. They like, you know, up in front of people. They like being, I had this one pastor who said once, you know, he wanted his deacons, he had this chair and he had these two poles on each side of the chair, wanted his deacons to carry his big butt into the church. I said, hey, no way. I mean, that shows you the mentality of some people. And yes, there have been involved, people that I know have been involved in cults, but here is the most defining and definitive part of this discussion. A pastor who will not tell the truth is one of the worst things in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are willing to sacrifice your integrity with God for some group or some issue, lo be unto you, woe be unto you, because you're going to have to stand before God one day and answer for that, you know? Mm-hmm. And to me, that is frightening. I never want that. That's why I tell my folks, your blood is on my hands.
Wow.
Don't you sit there and say, well, pastor said so-and-so-and-so. No, because pastor didn't say that. And
wow.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
Right. The truth.
God has given it to me. And I don't play around, you know, with the word of God and play around with scripture and play around with what God has given me to give to people. Every Sunday morning, pastors attempt to give the best suitable verbal offering they can to their people, hopefully inspired by God. Because each church needs something a little differently than other churches. They all need the word of God. They all need the anointing. They all need the spirit of Christ. But some churches need certain things.
Right.
And some churches need to be more friendly. Some churches need to be not less, like you said, cultish, where you got a couple of families running the whole church.
Right.
That's crazy. That's not. To me, I mean, that's just that's utterly hypocrisy.
Right. Right.
To allow for a pastor to allow something like that to go on, because one day you're going to stand before the Bema seat of Christ, and Bema is word for judgment. You are going to be judged yourself, and you better be careful.
You better be careful
because if you don't, you're going to find yourself subject to the very things that you've said, and you're going to be held accountable, and God's going to say why. And you can't say nothing because he's got it there in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everything that you said, everything that you've done is right there. And you're going to have to stand before him and try to justify what you've done and what you said. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I am not perfect. Yes, I say some things wrong. Yes, I'll split some verbs every now and then and speak Ebonics. But God knows my heart. Mm-hmm. And I can go to sleep every night and sleep good because I know not bastardize God's word.
Mm. And you know, that's great that you said that, because I read in the scripture that God, those of us that God has given us the wherewithal to teach and to pastor, we are going to be judged more harsher. This word says, and I'll find that scripture, because of what we've been trained and what we've been taught. And we have to define it to the children of God according to what we're getting from the tables of heaven. And if we don't, and if we sidetrack it, and we lead any of his sheep astray, you're going to be judged more harsher than the regular layman, because we have been put in position, as you were making mention, we're put in position. All our position is to help lead God's people to heaven. That's what it is. Okay. We are to give them the solid word on helping them to live right on a daily basis, how to overcome, how to get healed in those certain areas. Not, like you said, not lie to them, and tell them some gooby dust is going to make it all right. And having them putting their faith in stuff, okay, in rocks, in ornaments. And I'm finding out this is a lot of the things that are going on. So we got to really be careful. And so things, the Lord is just telling us that, and I really believe that he's dealing with the leaders today. I really do. Because a lot of leaders have erred in their way. They've been, in Galatians 5, it says they've been carried away by the lust of their own flesh. Now, I know money is good. Money answers all things. But a lot of times they've got caught up into the things, what it can purchase, what it can buy, where it could put them in the upper echelon. It's almost like it's a competitive nature that has gone up into our leaders. Like I said, not all of them. There are some that are still very, very humble, but there's some that they're caught up in the stuff, you know, and the word of God tells us, and I know you know this, Dr. Demery, take no thought. And when he says, take no thought, okay, and where you should lay your head, and these provisions are going to be made for you. And I'm paraphrasing. Okay. So don't be so caught up into, and another thing he says, don't look over at your neighbor and see what they have, because a lot of times, the men of darkness, they gain a lot. They gain a lot of material things. And then we look over in their yard and we're like, how come we don't have this stuff? Have you ever had anybody talk to you in the leadership and says, well, this brother over here has got this and this brother over here has got that. What do you tell them in that incidence when they start making comparisons, Dr. Demery? Because I know what I tell them, but what would you tell them, a leader who's looking over in somebody else's yard and seeing all of this, oh my gosh, they're coming up, they're being prosperous, and then they start the comparison and says, I must be doing something wrong. What would you tell that leader?
Well, it's like Timothy, you know, in the pastoral epistles, when Paul was instructing Timothy and all the rest of those guys about church leadership, mm-hmm. you know, don't compare yourself to other people's. Be yourself. Be your own person. Be who you are and what God has called you to do, not mm-hmm. what somebody else, because you don't know what that person is going through. Right. And that's what I tell young preachers when I get a chance to talk to them. I said, look, be yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't preach nobody else's sermon. Don't wish you had what somebody else had, because God will bless you in a point in time. The pastoral epistles are really clear on that. I mean, that's why Paul talked to Silas and talked to those
Timothy.
People. You know, this one friend of mine said, well, you don't need to go to church. I said, what? Well, then God appoint all these churches. Why did Paul appoint all these churches? Why
wow.
did this is my church upon the rock that I built when he was talking to Peter, you know? And so to say something like that is crazy. That's just because your butt's too lazy to get up on the morning and go to church.
Come on, come on. And you know what? It's amazing because you're right, Dr. Demery, you're bringing a reflection back to me when Paul addressed these churches, because each of those churches had a demographic problem, okay? And he had to address the churches accordingly to their problem, the Church of Corinth, Philippi, the Church of Ephesus. He had to address them, and sometimes he sent letters. And then he told them one time, you don't want me to come myself, because, in other words, he was going to speak judgment on them until they changed. And I look at that, I said, what to me, for that type of position that Paul had, God really entrusted him with that kind of power, okay, not to misappropriate the power of God. So many have done that, because what happened, lay people tend to gravitate towards leadership, and sometimes they honor them as God. You said something about carrying a man in the church. You know, I've seen that before. Carrying him on the throne like he's God, okay? Like he's the one who handing out the blessings and holding back the blessings, okay? And whatever, and I've heard a pastor says, and I don't know if you've heard this, where a pastor got up and says, nobody is able to pray for anybody. Nobody can prophesy to anybody. Nobody can put blessed oil on them unless I do it. I'm the only one who can do this, okay? Have you heard anybody do that or seen anybody do that? Where they said, I'm the only one who could touch them in this place. So to me, that's taken away from, because we have various prophets among us. We have teachers among us who can pray for people. What do you think about that, that kind of person?
Well, that's crazy, because any pastor who thinks he can do it all on his own, Moses found that out real quickly. That's why he used his father-in-law to help him out. But, you know, the point being is any pastor that thinks that they can do it all is a, ooh, I almost slipped and said something I shouldn't say, you know, is wrong.
Right. You know,
they are wrong. And you use everybody in the church from the janitor to the, from the outhouse to the white. You know, you use, and I use, people will tell you, my church, Pastor Demery will talk to anybody and let anybody.
Come on.
And they are consecrated. Lay hands on me. Pray for me.
Say
on. There's areas where people are stronger in than I am. And I understand that. And I say, you know, there are people you will reach that I will never reach because of the gifts God has given you. And, and so I tell people, look, don't you be afraid to say, Pastor, let me pray for you. I've had people lay hands on me. I had this one old lady came to the church. She said, look, Pastor, I want to pray for you. Pray for me. See,
come on.
Now, you got to be careful. You don't let everybody pray, lay hands on you.
I was going to say that.
Let everybody, you know, pray for you. But the point being is, if it's somebody that you trust and within your spirit, if you feel it is anointed from God, you know, if you think you can do it all on your own, brother or sister, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. You need everybody's help.
That, to me, that's a selfish spirit. And then too, you reflected on Moses. Remember when they were in battle and he had to have Joshua and Aaron hold up his arms? Remember?
Yeah.
Because he got tired. That's like some pastors, they get tired. And then the Lord told him to choose men in leadership after his own heart, because Moses was obedient to God. He was honest with God. So the Lord said, choose men after, you know, your own heart. And so therefore, even in leadership today, and I think if the White House, here I go, if people in leadership period, first off, I'll just say, people's heart has to be in the right place to being in leaders, in leadership. You have to be in the servant's position. We're finding even in the political that, here I go, in the political, to me, many of them don't have a servant's heart. They're far few and in between. They don't have the people in their heart. It's all about prestige, position, and money and power. And so that has trickled over into the houses of prayer, the church, that have trickled over into our leadership. And I'm telling you, it is just really going crazy to the point where, Dr. Demery, a lot of people don't even want to come to church now. A lot of people don't want to even come to the building because of what's going on the inside. Okay? People are looking for something different. They're looking for something that is genuine. And so that's why I reflect back. Try the Spirit, by the Spirit, whether they be of God. A lot of people won't even ask the Lord who this person is. Can you show me this individual? They don't realize they have that kind of power to ask God. And he'll show you, especially if somebody has a sincere heart and wants to know. You are open when you are saying that, you know, you have people challenge you, okay? You're not going to have many pastors to come on, challenge me. Because I used to raise my hand all the time in Bible study. When something didn't sound right, I was just asking a question. I just says, well, how come the scripture says this? And then I'm not understanding. Can you disclose this a little better for me? And I raised my hand too many times, I guess. Well, because the pastor was not talking about what was written in the word. He was off in left field somewhere. And if a person has any kind of common sense, they will put two and two together, and some things just don't sound right. But you have some pastors will tell you to be quiet. And like the one that told me, stop asking so many questions. I said what I said, and you take what I said. I'm the one who went to school. I'm the one who've been called and anointed. Now, what do you do, or what do you say to an individual, Dr. Dim? I know I'm putting you on blast, put you on the question blast today, but what do you say to an individual who comes to you with that kind of feeling that somebody has misled them in that direction as far as they're the only ones or the leader that's standing before them? They're the only ones who have all the answers when it comes to the word of God. And they tell you, don't even study because I studied for you. What do you say like that? What do you say?
Well, that's nonsense. I mean, that's nonsense. People that are like that are nincompoops, you know? They are self-centered, egomaniacs.
Yep.
I mean, I tell people in Bible study, ask questions. If you don't ask questions, I don't think that you're thinking, you know, because I challenge my folks to the point where I want them to ask questions. It's kind of like William You know, you remember William told that story a while back where the pastor told him, well, you do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
Said, you don't tell me what I'm going to do. You're going to tell me what I'm going to do.